Worshiping the Lord. Amen. God is so good. But if you're here from Living Unashamed, you're dismissed right now. That's our 6th through 8th graders are dismissed right now to go back to the gym. And if there are any other children that are left here that didn't go to Rock Church, you're dismissed also at this time to go and be with your teachers. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Well, today we're going to be continuing in our series, Sweet and Salty. And so if you would turn with me in your Bibles, if you'd like to turn there, to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. We're going to start out with Proverbs 16, verse 24. And then we're going to go to Colossians 4, verse 6, and then we're going to pray. Colossians 16, verse 24 says, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." Gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. And then Colossians 4, 6 says, "So let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." All right, let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you and praise you for your faithfulness, oh God. And Lord, we thank you for the way you minister your love to us, God, and the way you speak to us. And Lord, we pray that you will speak to our hearts today. And God, we pray that you will help us to speak gracious words, words that would be seasoned with salt, Lord, that would be sweetness to the soul and health to the body. So we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Last week we had an awesome water baptism. Wasn't it great? And just really introduced this whole idea and the topic of sweet and salty. But there was a story in 1 Samuel that really grabbed my attention, that really kind of helped us to understand, you know, about the effect of honey and a honeycomb. And there was a battle that was taking place. Jonathan had left and didn't tell his father Saul. His father Saul was king, and Jonathan was, and his armor bearer went up, and they started a battle, just the two of them. And they started to be victorious. And then the rest of Israel and Israel's army joined the battle. But Saul had put the people of Israel under an oath. He told them that they were not allowed to eat food before the sun set that day. And so they were faint. They were, you know, imagine, you know, going to war. Imagine fighting. Imagine going a whole day without eating any food. It's not easy when you're not in battle, is it? But when you're in battle, it makes it even more difficult. And Jonathan was going through the forest, and he saw a bunch of honey, and it says he dipped his staff into the honeycomb. He took out some honey, and he put it to his mouth, and it says that his eyes brightened. And so the effect of that honey in his life was that his eyes brightened, and it brought health to his body. It brought sweetness to his soul, and it brought health to his body. And that's what the Bible is saying to us here, that's what gracious words do to us. Gracious words, like, they brighten our eyes, and they bring health to our body. And so what I wanted to do today was, I wanted to, you know, today's Mother's Day, so I wanted to go to a portion of Scripture that speaks about mothers or about women. And so I'm going to turn real briefly to Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to read a few verses from Proverbs chapter 31. And we're going to start with verse 10. We're going to read verses 10 through 12. And then also verse 26. And verse 10 says this, "An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels." Yeah, amen. That's right. All right, guys. Take a cue from Greg. Let me read that again, and I want to hear all of you say amen. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. Amen. Okay. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Amen. See, guys, we're on a ball here today. And she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Amen. Come on, a little bit more enthusiastic, gentlemen. Amen. You know, sometimes we read these stories in the Bible, and, you know, some of us can read through this and get depressed. I know, because we go, "Wow, I don't measure up." But listen, you do. You do. We sometimes don't give ourselves enough credit. You know, the devil loves to beat us up, doesn't he? Doesn't he love to beat you up? He's never going to stop trying. But you know, what a sweet word that came forth to us today from Kamenin. You know, because I was being beat up this weekend by the devil. And the Lord just wanted me to know that he loves me. And that his love will never change. And it doesn't matter if I preach a good sermon or a bad sermon. More often than not, they're in the middle somewhere maybe. Who knows? It doesn't really matter, does it? It doesn't matter, you know, because God loves us. And he wants to speak gracious words into our life. Because what will they be? They will be a honeycomb to us. They will be like a honeycomb. Sweetness to our soul. And health to our whole body. And he wants us to be strong. He doesn't want us to be a church that's staggering and that barely getting by. He wants you to be strong. He wants me to be strong. So, you know, I was reading through Job the other day, and Job chapter 31 is kind of like Proverbs 31. It just talks about who Job was and how he did this, he did this, he did this. And I read through and I go, wow, I fall short, I fall short, I fall short. So, you know, you might be reading Proverbs 31 and think, wow, I fall short, I fall short, I fall short. But that's okay because God's working on our lives and this is who he's going to make us to be. But there's one verse that really says something to us about this woman, this excellent wife. And in verse 26 says this, that she opens her mouth with wisdom. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And I was reading some things about mothers, and I'll get to that in a minute. Now, let me read it now. Someone anonymously wrote these words about mothers. How many days have you cried for me? How many tears have you dried for me? How many days have you worried long? How many years have you filled with song? How many times have I hurt your heart? How many times have we had to part? How many prayers have you said for me? How many miles have you walked for me? Nobody knows but you, mother. Another person wrote, motherhood involves the apprehension of caring for a newborn that was delivered without an owner's manual. You know, when you read through Proverbs 31, just remember some of these things. You've been a lot better than you thought, maybe. Let me just read that one again. Motherhood involves the apprehension of caring for a newborn that was delivered without an owner's manual. Motherhood is made in the state of exhaustion caused by monitoring the constant movements that progress from carpet crawler to curtain climber. You remember? Having grandchildren, I'm being reminded all over again. And boys are tough, Karina knows. Okay. Motherhood involves multitasking among the roles of chauffeur, nurse, cheerleader, disciplinarian, counselor, friend, cook, maid, and craft supervisor. Motherhood witnesses the simple joys of childhood and the angst of adolescence. Motherhood suffers the growing pains of the teenage years with the hope of being rewarded with close friendship when maturity kicks in. And motherhood is a 24/7 job that starts at birth and never stops. That's right. So, God has given mothers a word of wisdom. For instance, the time the husband finished reading the book, Man of the House. And he came into the kitchen, he points at his wife, and he says, from now on, I want you to know that I'm the man of this house, and my word is law. I want you to prepare me a gourmet meal, and after this gourmet meal, I want you to make a scrumptious dessert. And then after dinner, you're going to draw my bath so that I can relax. And when I'm finished with my bath, guess who's going to dress me and comb my hair? And the woman, who is a wise woman, said, the funeral director would be my guess. Yeah, that's Emily right there. I can tell you, that would be Emily. Thanks for that word, Em. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. You know, how many of you, know your mom that way? You know, I know that my sons know their mom in that way. That she was a woman who often had words of wisdom to give, and teaching of kindness was on her tongue. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. And let your speech be gracious, therefore, all seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. You know, I just want to give a couple of examples from the scriptures about some women who used words of wisdom and had gracious words and who understood, the things about God. And one of the things that I've noticed about each one of these women is that they had a strong relationship with God. And can I just say that there is nothing more important than having a strong relationship with God and what you can do through that relationship, how God can increase wisdom into your heart and into your life. And so this is a goal for each one of us, not just for women, but for men also. But, the Bible is filled with instances where God used women to speak wisdom into people's lives. And I'm thinking, first of all, of Manoah. And Manoah was the father of Samson. But when the Lord wanted to speak to them, he spoke first to Manoah's wife. And he told Manoah's wife about what God was going to do through her and how the Lord was going to bring her a son. But Manoah wasn't there. And so Manoah, prayed, Lord, bring the man back so he can show us how to live. But he'd already really told her. So the man came back, but it was the angel of the Lord. But he didn't actually go to Manoah. He went again to the wife. And so she ran to her husband and said, he's here again. And he told them, the manner of life that she should live and that the child would be a Nazarite to the Lord. And then they offered a sacrifice up to the man who turned out to be the angel of the Lord. And when the sacrifice was offered up, he caused fire to come out and it just consumed the thing. And he went up in the flames. And Manoah, it says in verse 21, the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife. And then Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord when he went up in the flames. And Manoah said to his wife, we shall surely die, for we have seen God. But his wife said to him, this is important to listen to our wives, man. He said, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, or shown us all these things, or now announced to us such things as these. See, she had understanding. And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the young man grew and the Lord blessed him. And here's an instance where the Lord has revealed to this woman a word of wisdom that somehow skipped over the man. And it's, guys, we're the men of our house, right? Thank you. But I can't tell you how many times, and I thank God for my wife, but I can't tell you how many times that, I might have been in the dark, but the Lord gave wisdom to my wife, Suzanne, and led us. And that wasn't always that way, but the thing of it is that as we, as we have this relationship with the Lord, God speaks wisdom into our hearts. Let me tell you another story. In 2 Kings chapter 4, there's another woman. She was from Shunem. And it says here in verse 8 that one day Elisha went to Shunem where a wealthy woman lived who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, behold, now I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there. See, this shows us the perception that this woman had. This man kept coming, and she was the one that perceived that this man is a man of God. See, it just speaks to us about her relationship with God. And so, ladies, when you have a relationship with God, he can give you wisdom to speak into situations. And when you have a relationship with God, you will be able to see and perceive things, maybe even that your husband doesn't see. This is why God brings us together. Do you understand that? God brings us together, a husband and wife. The two shall become one flesh. And it doesn't always, you know, it isn't always the man that gets the wisdom, is it? Sometimes he gives it to the wife because she knows the Lord, doesn't she? And so it's a working relationship that we have with one another. And God gave wisdom to this woman. Let me go to Luke chapter 1, and we can read about Mary, and we can read about Elizabeth. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, it says, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I'm a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called the Holy Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said," listen to these words, "behold," words of wisdom were in her mouth, "behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What an awesome thing of submission to the Lord that is right there. "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord." You know, when we speak those words to God, he uses us in powerful ways. He uses us in powerful ways. And now listen to the wisdom given to Elizabeth. "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord has spoken to her, or what was spoken to her from the Lord." Wisdom is given to Elizabeth, and she's filled with the Spirit. And isn't that what the book of Acts tells us? That in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. His sons and daughters will prophesy. His old men will dream dreams. And even on my handmaidens and my women will I pour out my Spirit in those days. God is pouring out his Spirit right now on you women, and he's filling you with wisdom and understanding and knowledge and gracious words, gracious speech, which is a honeycomb, which is sweetness to the soul and health to the body. And this is the power that is in each one of us. This is the power that is within us, especially, you know, for those of us who are mothers, including me in the group, but fathers as well. But, you know, we have an awesome job. You know, I remember as we were in the ministry over the years, and there were years and years and years when my wife lived in the nursery. Every service, it would seem, she was in the nursery. But you know what? She saw it as ministry. And you know what she was doing? She was speaking gracious words to those children. And they were sweetness to their soul. You know, and I fully believe that's one of the very strong reason why my sons are who they are today. Because just of the way she would pour herself into them. And this is something that we can do. And it doesn't matter where your kids are. Maybe some of your kids aren't serving the Lord right now. That's okay. We're still going to be speaking gracious words into their lives. And we can, you know, God can still give us wisdom and fill us with his Spirit to make a difference. Because you know, what did we say? What was that last thing about mothers? Or mothers, the job is 24/7. It never ends from birth on. It never ends. And God uses us as a protection in our children's lives, doesn't he also? Because in those years when my son Joel was out there, guess what? His mom and his dad too, but his mom was a protection for her because of the power of the Holy Spirit that was a protection rather for him because of the power of the Holy Spirit that was in her life. Do you believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is in your life? And then she spoke these words. Mary went on to speak these words. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Just trust in God and rejoice in the Lord because he's in control. It says, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is there for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And God will give you words. God will give you words for your children. God will give you words for your family, won't he? God will give you words about what he has planned. He pours out his spirit. He does that. And there are many other stories of wisdom that were given to women in the Bible. For instance, I think of there was a wise woman in 2 Samuel chapter 20 who saved a whole city. I think of Deborah. In the book of Judges, was a wise woman. Think of Ruth and Naomi. You could go on and on and on. There's women throughout the Bible that God used mightily and poured out his spirit upon them and through them. I think of Huldah, the prophetess, who spoke into the life of Josiah and those around there. And then there's one more portion of scripture I just wanted to show about Mary. When Mary's a little bit older now, 30 or so years have passed, and Jesus is now entering into his ministry, and we go to the Gospel of John. And it says that in John chapter 2, it says, on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no more wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. I love when Pastor Ron spoke to us about this portion of scripture. My hour has not yet come. The whole idea of Jesus would be shedding his blood for us. In John chapter 17, he will say something completely different. He will say, the hour has come. But here he's saying, my hour has not yet come. But listen to the wisdom of Mary as she replies. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Can I just say this morning, mothers, ladies, men, very powerful statement right there. Do whatever he tells you. We have to have ears to listen and to hear God's voice. And when we do, God can move in powerful ways. In mighty ways. You have to believe that. You have to hold firm to that. You have to know it. And I just wanted to turn really to Psalm chapter 19, and I'm going to call up the worship team. Again, one of the Proverbs 23, or 31 rather, verse 26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom. And the teaching of kindness is on our tongue. Do you realize, ladies, that God has endowed you with wisdom? That you can open your mouth with wisdom, that you do open your mouth with wisdom. And the teaching of kindness is on your tongue. That's what he has for you. Now, what exactly does he want you to be speaking? And Psalm 19 is just so powerful because listen to what it says in verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It's Psalm 19 and Psalm 119 almost picture one another, only Psalm 19 is a short little psalm, and Psalm 119 is a psalm that goes on forever. But it's all about the statutes of the Lord, the testimonies of the Lord, the decrees of the Lord, the promises of the Lord. Listen to what it says here. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's perfect. Do you want to speak perfect words? Do you want to speak perfect words to your children? Do you want to pour perfect ideas into their heart? Speak the word of God to them. I know that Kamenin and Kayla and Amber and my boys have seen this again, but they see Suzanne. And sometimes I think it's silly. You know, she starts right away, right as baby, she just starts singing them songs about Jesus. And, you know, you can't, You can't give enough of Jesus to your children. It's the law of the Lord that is perfect. And what does it do? Reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. What? Making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You want true joy? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Oh. The fear of the Lord is clean. I just love that. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Sometimes we think, I don't want to fear God, but the fear of the Lord is clean. You want to know why? Because it's the hatred of evil, the Bible says. It's a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now listen to this. All of these things, they are more to be desired, are they, than gold. Even much fine gold. I don't know about you, I'd rather have gold, right? No, you wouldn't. More to be desired are they than gold. Even much fine gold. Now here it is. Sweeter also than honey. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Is what? The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the rules of the Lord. Much more to be desired are they than gold, and much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and droppings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. You know, for those of you who are young moms, let me just encourage you, you know, to be speaking the word of God to your children. To be making sure you take time to have a devotion with them and not just have it be the leftover time. I fear that Disney is running the show. And the Lord wants to run the show. The Lord wants to have the hearts of our children. And what an awesome gift we can give to them when our mouth speaks these words of wisdom and we teach them in kindness the things of God. This is not really just for wisdom. This is, I mean, not just for women. This is also for men, isn't it? Husbands, we want to be like that. Because at the end of the day, no matter how much you pour into your wife, I mean, into your son or your daughter, when they're on national television, they're going to say, "Hi, Mom." But you know, this is what God wants for each one of us. He wants us to be pouring the love of Jesus into one another. Amen? Husbands speaking gracious words to your wife. Wives speaking gracious words to your husbands. Parents speaking gracious words into their children. It's sweetness to the soul and it's health to the body. It turns things around. It turns things around. And the Word of God is the best way for us to really pour in to our children. And you know, let's make a commitment to speak God's words to one another. And we will see a powerful difference. You know, when you're out there on the street and you're witnessing to somebody or friends that you know, be listening for God's voice. Don't pound them with the word of God, but be listening to God as he will just drop a word of wisdom into your heart for them right out of his word. Just let God's word do the work. You don't have to do any more than that. Because what we, I think Pastor Sam might be sharing with you next week, you know, too much salt spoils the soup, right? But we can see God do great and mighty things through us. So today, moms, you are excellent. You are excellent in the Lord's sight, and you are excellent in our sight. And we just want to thank God for you. Because I see each one of you as being people of great importance in the lives of your children, in the lives of your family, in the lives of this church. Let's speak those words of wisdom. Let's know when we do that, what's going to happen? Grace is going to fall like rain, isn't it? You know, when I drive up and down Mercer Road, especially lately, have we had enough rain around here, you think? So, well, Lord, we don't want any more rain. I don't know, but do you notice how green everything is? And how beautiful it looks? I remember when I go to visit my sister-in-law who lives here now. We go to Denver and everything's brown. And they come here and they say, wow, everything's so green. That's because rain has that effect on us. And let's just let God's grace be poured into our lives. And let's be gracious people.